Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Donegal's Deputy Piers Doherty clashes with the Finance Minister in the Dáil this afternoon over Ireland's decision not to refer Israel's actions in Gaza to the International Criminal Court. The co-chair of the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign in Donegal expresses disappointment that the Dáil did not support a motion calling for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador to Ireland. Questions are raised over the release of a man accused of the killing of Private Sean Rooney in Lebanon in December last year on bail. And the PSNI and An Garda Síochána team up for a cross-border speeding campaign. Later in the bulletin, Kenny is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. And as it's a Thursday, farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will follow the sport at around 5:20. But we begin with the clash in the Dáil this afternoon between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and the Finance Minister Michael McGrath. Deputy Doherty was asking questions over Ireland's decision not to refer Israel's actions in Gaza to the International Criminal Court. Deputy Doherty contrasted the behaviour on this occasion to Ireland's referral of Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year. He accused the government of adopting double standards. Minister McGrath denied that, saying the prosecutor is already investigating what's happening in Gaza and claiming the two scenarios are very different. In a heated response, Deputy Doherty said that was not true, provoking a sharp response from Ciarán Cóirla, Seán O'Farrill.
So the position is clear. In the case of Palestine and Israel,
Deputy, resume your seat. Deputy Doherty, will you stop disrupting the house, please?
Minister, thank you. We move to...
With respect...
Please.
The inquiry in Ukraine...
Talk to me afterwards about that matter. Please do not further disrupt the House.
I gave the facts, Deputy.
Deputy,
you may not like them, but they are the facts.
And the war crimes are happening.
They are the facts.
You say you can't. You can't even see, watch the news. It is war crimes,
Deputy. You didn't even raise it in leaders' questions. You had the option of raising leaders' questions, and you chose.
No, not to.
You chose not to raise it in leaders' questions.
Minister, this is pure hectoring.
And you can hear that full exchange on our website, HighlandRadio.com. Well, the co-chair of the Irish-Palestinian Solidarity Campaign in Donegal has expressed disappointment that a motion seeking the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador to Ireland was rejected by a majority of TDs last night. The Social Democrats put forward the motion demanding that the diplomatic credentials of Dana Erlich be revoked. Ayad, speaking on today's 9 till noon show, said the outrage of people against the events in Gaza is not being reflected by politicians.
What's the point of having international laws if the Israelis keep breaking them and you know, now we're just standing here saying expelling the ambassador, whether we should do it or not. That ambassador should have been expelled when she criticized the president of Ireland. You know, she's breaking diplomatic protocols. And the country she represents is currently involved in a genocide. But the amazing thing here, we know Palestine is occupied. Everybody knows that. The question is, who isn't occupied today? If the politicians are not listening to the people, there's a divide in Irish politics. At the minute, this is becoming very apparent. The people, everybody is saying that what's going on is wrong. The politicians are not reflecting that from their position as representatives of the people.
Questions are being raised about the release of a man accused of the killing of Private Sean Rooney in Lebanon last year. The 23-year-old who had been living in Donegal was killed on December 14th last after a convoy in which he was travelling came under fire in South Lebanon. Mohammed Ayad was handed over to authorities by Hezbollah in December. UNIFIL have been told he was released on bail on health grounds, but there are reports that a military official said he may have opened fire on the UN patrol, but there is no conclusive evidence proving that he was the one who injured the peacekeeper, causing his death. Journalist Hannah McCarthy is in Lebanon. She told Highland Radio today there are still many questions.
Mohammed Ayad is the only person that the Lebanese authorities have arrested in relation to the attack last December. December on Private Sean Rooney and Trooper Shane Carney. So there's a lot of kind of concerns that he's been allowed out on bail. He was kind of allowed out on bail worth about €13,000. It's not clear who paid for it. First hearing of the trial in August, he had about 20 lawyers present in the courtroom. Again, we're not clear who was paying for it. My understanding from speaking with lawyers in Beirut is that he didn't have legal aid. So there are question marks, certainly, over who is funding both his bail and his legal team. At the moment, when I spoke to UNIFIL, they said that they understood he had been released on the basis of poor health, but they were investigating that and in discussions with the military court. Unfortunately, I would say it's not a great sign for the trial. I know there are question marks over whether the Lebanese court system is capable of delivering justice for Ireland, for the family of Private Sean Rooney and for Shane Carney. And I know Taoiseach Micheál Martin voiced concerns during his visit to Israel last September. As far as we know, the trial is still going on in December. We hope that there will be a proper process. We hope that Mohammed Ayad will appear in the court. But again, in Lebanon, nothing is ever really certain.
And that was Hannah McCarthy there. The PSNI and An Garda Síochána teamed up today for a cross-border road safety operation to tackle speeding. The intention is to reduce the number of road deaths. Garda Superintendent David Kelly spoke to reporters at a checkpoint straddling the Donegal and Derry border at Bridgend this afternoon.
We're being present both overtly in the forms of checkpoints like you're going to see here today, conducted by uniformed members of the roads policing units of An Garda Síochána and indeed by the PSNI in their own policing area. We're complemented then by the regular units. We're also complemented by our GoSafe network of speed prevention vehicles. And indeed then we will have covert units on patrol again to try and detect and prevent road traffic incidents and offences.
A short distance away on the Derry side of the border, PSNI Chief Inspector Graham Dodds said 57 people have died on the North's roads so far this year.
It's not just statistics, you know, it's easy for people to say 57 people and it's a figure, especially if it appears in print, but this is more than a statistic. These are people who won't be at their daughter or son's wedding, they won't be at their children's graduation.
A new collaboration between the Motor Insurers Bureau of Ireland and Gardaí will allow the force target more uninsured drivers. Gardaí will now receive an updated record of the insurance details for every private vehicle every night. The Bureau says there are almost 188,000 uninsured vehicles on the road, which it says represents one in every 12 private vehicles. Junior Transport Minister Jack Chambers says the move is a key part of road traffic legislation, which was enacted earlier this year.
It allows the motor insurance sector to share in real time all the insurance information with Gardaí. This will really strengthen enforcement to focus on drivers that are driving around uninsured, which is completely unacceptable on our roads and presents a risk in terms of wider road safety. And this will really enhance enforcement, allows for real time information to be uploaded.
The hashtag Buy Donegal campaign returns for a fourth year next week, following on from what Donegal County Council is describing as a series of phenomenally successful campaigns, with over 300 businesses involved since 2020. Businesses from all sectors are being urged to use the opportunity to highlight the products and services they offer to a local and global audience, while people in the area and abroad are being urged to buy Donegal products. Elaine Horsky is Donegal County Council's Economic Development Officer. She says there's been an increase in online sales as well as in local shops.
It's been phenomenally successful. I don't think anyone really saw the success of it coming. It's had an overwhelming response globally. And it's been brilliant to see Donegal businesses across all sectors being promoted to that wide audience. Feedback has shown that the businesses who have engaged in the campaign over previous years have seen a significant increase in online sales because of the campaign through the social media reach, through features, through the promotions and through their own special offers and vouchers and giveaways and things like that when it's part of the campaign. And we've seen a huge amount of the diaspora abroad across the world engaging with the campaign as well and getting that little bit of Donegal home feeling into their own lives wherever they are.
Now, this year's campaign gets underway on Monday next, November 20th, and it's not too late for businesses to get involved. How can they do so?
Go on to buydonegal.ie, and there's a step-by-step process there of how to get involved in the campaign and be part of the website. And as well, you can get involved throughout the entire campaign by just using the hashtags, and as well as that is tagging us across social media. And we're more than happy to help promote and to share the success of Donegal businesses and their presence across the world.
And that was Donegal County Council's Economic Development Officer, Elaine Warisky. The Dublin Council of Trade Unions is condemning proposals by RTE management to cut 400 jobs and outsource many key productions. It says RTE workers should not have to pay the price for what it described as management incompetence and government failures. The union is also calling for a sustainable model of funding for all public service media. There's a call for stronger rules around deliveries of beer and alcohol to prevent underage sales. A report by the Oireachtas Justice Committee raises concerns about some shops and restaurants providing deliveries of beer to public parks. The report also examined the potential impact of new laws, which would see pubs and clubs allowed to stay open later. The chair of the Oireachtas Justice Committee, James Lawless, says stricter rules around deliveries are needed.
But you can actually buy a bag of cans. This is a phenomenon where young people typically are ordering crates of beer and having on the back of a delivery driver and into maybe a public park or a green. I think most people agree that's not a healthy way to have things. And obviously that all the rules and regulations and precautions around public health messaging and even age checks and IDs are obviously absent from that transaction.
The Vice Chair of the IFA Sheep Committee, Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher, has been elected the committee's chair. At a meeting in the Irish Farm Centre in Dublin today, the committee's outgoing chair, Kevin Comiskey, announced he was stepping down as he's decided to pursue a nomination to run in next year's local elections. Adrian Gallagher, who farms in Falkara, told the meeting he looks forward to working on behalf of sheep farmers and raising the issues that matter to them at every level.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, with great gift ideas for everyone on your list this Christmas, in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
16 minutes past five. Good evening, Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donald. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and the FAI board says it regrets the breaches of the association's Memorandum of Understanding with Sport Ireland. Funding to the FAI was paused after it was revealed FAI CEO Jonathan Hull had received €20,000 more than his agreed salary. The FAI said a detailed review has been carried out into the matter and that lessons will be fully adopted. They also say it's their intention to meet the government requirement of 40% female representation on the board. Elsewhere, James McLean has been called into the Republic of Ireland squad for Saturday's Euro qualifier away to the Netherlands. Festi Eboseli and Will Smallbone have both been ruled out of Ireland's upcoming games. McLean was due to make his final appearance in an Irish jersey against New Zealand next week. Meanwhile, Scotland have just kicked off away to Georgia as they aim to maintain hopes of finishing top of the Euro 2024 qualifying group. They're also out to avoid a fourth straight defeat. This evening marks manager Steve Clark's 50th game in charge of the country. Back here locally, Dundalk have confirmed that Daniel Kelly has left the club. He's been linked with a move to Derry City in recent weeks. The winger won a league title with the Louth side in 2019 before claiming the FAI Cup the following season. Moving on to golf, and Rory McIlroy and Tom McKibben both carried one under par rounds of 71 at the DP World Tour Championship. Shane Lowry finished on level par. The joint leaders in Dubai on 5 under par are Nicolai Højgaard and French duo of Mathieu Pavon and Julien Gourier. Meanwhile, McIlroy has been explaining his reasons for stepping down from the PGA Tour's policy board.
I don't mind being busy, but you know, I just like being busy doing my own stuff. So something had to give, and you know, there's guys that are on that board that are spending a lot more time and a lot more energy on it than I am, and you know, it's in good hands, and I felt like it was the right time to step off.
In the LPGA Tour, Leona Maguire just teed off on the opening day of the CME Tour Championship in Florida. Patty Tavatanakit is the early leader on 6 under par. In hurling, All-Ireland champions Limerick, they lead the way with 7 players named on this year's PWCGAA GPA All-Stars team. 3 of the players included, Dermot Burns, Kyle Hayes and Aaron Gillan, are nominated for the Player of the Year awards. Beaten finalist Kilkenny, they received 5 awards, with with Clare winning two. Galway's Conor Whelan completes the lineup. The football selection will be announced at tomorrow night's banquet in the RDS. In rugby, Ian Henderson and Rob Herring will both start for Ulster in tomorrow night's URC meeting with the Lions in Belfast. Both players came off the bench in last week's win over Munster. Prop Marty Moore, who featured for the province in January, has been named among the replacements. In boxing, in a historic world heavyweight title fight between Tyson Fury and Alexander Usyk will be announced at a press conference this evening. Fury is the current WBC belt holder, while Usyk is the WBA, WBO and IBF champion. The bout is due to be staged in Saudi Arabia in February. In cricket, Pat Cummins struck the winning runs as Australia booked their place in Sunday's World Cup final. They beat South Africa by 3 wickets at Eden Gardens, surpassing the target set by the Proteas with 16 balls to spare. Australia will play host India in Sunday's decider. And finally, for this evening, this week on The Score, we'll look ahead to the big games in Ulster for Donegal clubs. We'll hear from St Dunan's Brian McIntyre ahead of their Ulster Hurling Championship final against Castleblaney. Danny Cullen previews Setanta's Ulster Intermediate semi-final against Middleton of Armagh. And Dunloe Ladies manager Tony Boyle tells us about their preparations for Sunday's Ulster final against Lavey. Brendan Welsh of Elite Shear Promotions joins us ahead of this week's Rumble in the Hills boxing show in the Aura Leisure Centre. And Declan Kerr highlights the upcoming Donegal Sports Star Awards. That's all on The Score here in Highland after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. It's a Thursday. It's 20 past 5. That means it's time for Farming News and Reviews. We say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. First this evening, new regulations which will apply from December the 1st will see dog owners face €300 on-the-spot fines for failing to keep their dogs under control. The IFA's Sheep Committee Chair, Kevin Comiskey, said this is a first step, but more must be done to protect livestock from dog attacks. The IFA had looked for a single national database for all dogs to correlate licensing and microchipping. In a show on Co-op is hosting a suckler and beef information night at its Carndonna premises on Tuesday, November the 28th, starting at 7:30 p.m. Angus Giggins from Livestock Nutritional Solutions and James Strain, Technical Sales Manager at Inishowen Co-op, will talk about winter feeding strategies, including growing and feeding red clover silage. Other speakers will include Gary Fisher from Chagas and Maura Langan, Veterinary Advisor at Norbrook Laboratories. The Land Mobility Service is an FBD trust-funded initiative that was established by Macrina Fermo. It's supported by the likes of the Department of Agriculture, Chagas, the IFA and major players in the food industry. Well, to tell me more about it and also a succession planning advice grant scheme of up to €1,500 towards the provision of advice and knowledge to farmers over the age of 60, I've been speaking with one of the Land Mobility Service facilitators, Michal Larkin.
In a nutshell, the Land Mobility Service, it provides options for landowners and opportunities for farmers, and in particular for young farmers. I suppose since I was on last, it's great to say that there's been well over 1,000 inquiries in 2022. It's been the busiest year ever. 586 arrangements have been facilitated. Overall, since the start of the service, we've arranged for over 75,000 acres to be put into arrangements. Breaking down the service there, awareness is the first thing. The likes of yourself tonight, we make people aware of the service, and there's a seven-step process. So from tonight or after tonight or any other meeting, there would be an inquiry. We'll go through the service with the person, explain some of their options, that there's no obligation. It's a very confidential service. And usually we call out to the person then. We'd weigh up their farm or their options there. We'd take into account all the various situations. It could be a family situation. It could be they're looking for a collaborator of a non-family person. And all of them are taken into consideration. We'll progress and facilitate the arrangement then, that could mean that we're looking for a collaborator outside the family, as I said, or internally. We can draw up any legal agreements that's needed from that. And I suppose the last thing then is support the arrangement. So whatever arrangement is put in place, that we'll support them throughout the length of the arrangement if needed. When we talk about arrangements, then we could have anything from partnerships, share farming, contract rearing, or I suppose the most popular what we have at the minute is leasing, in particular long-term leasing.
Now, there is a succession planning advice grant which was launched a few months ago, and the take-up, first of all, has been fairly positive so far.
Yes, it's great, and we cannot believe the amount of inquiries we're getting. I suppose at the Plowin, we were privileged to launch this grant, or SPAG, for it's an acronym, they love acronyms, and it's Succession Advice Planning Grant, and we launched it with Minister McConnell Ogue at the Plowing. It's a grant to encourage exploration of options, basically. So if you're over 60, have a farm, this is for you. What it does is any of the fees associated with exploring your options. So it could be hour charges to go and out and visit you and do up a plan for you. It could be your accountant, your farm planner, or indeed a solicitor. Any of them charges throughout the year, if you apply for the grant, you get 50% of the cost back. If you spend, let's just say you spend 3,000 between all the service providers, you'll get 1,500 of that back.
And getting expert advice is crucial, because in the past, fair to say that some farmers and landowners have made decisions and end up with quite a big financial outlay and maybe not the outcome that they would have expected.
Exactly. It's crucial to get all correct and impartial advice, and that's indeed where the Land Mobility Service prides itself. We're always impartial. It's independent advice, and we work with your own advisors as well, so your own solicitor, accountant, or farm planner. When we go and visit a landowner, we go through all the options they have. Normally, I call out to their farm. As I say, we'll assess the farm enterprise there and go through what they're thinking themselves. And you're right, Chris, you would be surprised the amount of arrangements, be it through lack of information or in particular incorrect information. We go to a lot of landowners and they have some information picked up. There may be some accurate pieces in it, but it's not. It's nearly always hearsay, or I thought this, or I thought that. We'll go through all the options, and you'll get a clear. You'll know what your options are at the end of our conversation.
Now, there is the website, the Land Mobility Service website, and it contains a lot of information. There's also a meeting coming up in Donegal quite soon.
There is, yes, I suppose, in conjunction, or Evo are one of our supporters there. They're having their own supplier meetings around in various counties, and in Donegal it's on the Wednesday the 29th of November. Now, that's for their own suppliers. They'll have details about that from 7:30 on. The Clanry Hotel is the venue, so I will be there from 5 until 7. And if anyone wants to book a free consultation, now this is a great opportunity. I'm in the area. If anyone wants to come in and go through their options for free and meet with us and discuss their situation, I'll be there, as I say, from 5 until 7, or indeed after the meeting as well. The only thing I'd ask is that people contact me. I'll give out the number at the end, just to book a slot, because the confidential nature of this, we don't want people in kind of on top of each other discussing things. So it'll be a confidential free consultation. Also, when I'm in the area, I'm happy to go out and visit any farms either that day or the next day. If there's anyone looking for advice, I can go out and visit them on site as well.
Now, tying in with this and the whole area of succession planning, the recent budget, were there any changes there of particular note?
As always in a budget, there's positive and somewhat maybe not so positive changes. In terms of the good news first, most of the grants and options for young farmers and their parents or farm landowners have been all kept. So this time of year, we always encourage, for example, if a family is considering getting into a partnership, so if they're considering involving their son, daughter, or any other nephews or nieces, now is the time to start planning for that, because the deadline is coming in February. And that's for a registered farm partnership. We can facilitate and go through them options. Taxation, any of the lease benefits, any of the young farmer grants, they've all been kept, thankfully, stock relief, etc. The only little thing I would urge caution on, and it won't affect many of your listeners, but there is a change in the ownership or the active farmer rule if you want to lease out your farm, and that will come in the new year. So you have to have owned or farmed it for 7 years to avail of the tax-free allowances. So that's a fairly major change in terms of ownership and active farmer status. And I just encourage people to contact us. As I say, it'll be coming in when they change the revenue measures in the new year.
So equipping yourself with the knowledge before making a big decision is a key factor. We've mentioned the meeting in the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny on November the 29th. There's also the website. And if somebody wants to contact you, they can do so directly?
They can, of course. So the phone number is 086-0404-002. 086-0404-002. And mlarkin@landmobility.ie.
And that was Micheál Larkin, a facilitator with the Land Mobility Service. Finally, Letterkenny IFA will host its 53rd annual dinner dance in the Station House Hotel in Letterkenny tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. And just to remind you of a late piece of farming news that came into us this evening, Donegal farmer Adrian Gallagher has been elected chair of the IFA's Sheep Committee. He was elected at a meeting in the Irish Farm Centre in Dublin this afternoon. The outgoing chair, Kevin Comiskey, announced he was stepping down as he's decided to pursue a nomination to run in the local elections next year. Adrian Gallagher farms in Falkara. Well, the forecast showers continuing along the Atlantic coast tonight with a chance of some hail and thunder. Drier the further east you go with a few isolated showers. Clear and cold tonight with lowest temperatures of -1 to 5 degrees Celsius. Donegal County Council gritting all roads on the gritting programme this evening and tomorrow morning. Frost possibly developing in some places in mostly light to moderate west to southwest winds. Mist and fog patches as well. It'll be cold and sunny to start tomorrow, but early mist and fog may linger. As the day goes on, though, cloud will build from the southwest with rain following. Highest afternoon temperatures 5 to 8 degrees Celsius, mostly light southwest winds at first. They'll back southeasterly and strengthen later with the rain. That's Highland Radio News. Main stories in brief this evening. Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty clashed with Finance Minister Michael McGrath in the Dáil this afternoon over Ireland's decision not to refer Israel's actions in Gaza to the International Criminal Court. Deputy Doherty contrasted that with Ireland's referral of Russia's invasion of Ukraine last year, accusing the government of adopting double standards. Minister McGrath denied that, saying the prosecutor is already investigating what's happening in Gaza and the two scenarios are different. In a heated response, Deputy Doherty said that's not true. It's unclear what the release of a man accused of the killing of Private Sean Rooney will mean for the upcoming trial into the death of the 23-year-old. Mohammed Ayad was handed over to authorities in Lebanon by Hezbollah in December. A journalist based in Beirut told Highland Radio today there are many questions still remaining over the release, which was apparently on health grounds. And the PSNI and Gardaí teamed up today for a cross-border road safety operation to tackle speeding on the Donegal-Derry border. The intention is to reduce the number of road deaths. You can follow all today's news, of course, on our website, highlandradio.com. Our next news is at 6 o'clock, but for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 16th of November. The death has taken place of Lily Rogers, née Callaghan, Castle Forward, Newton Cunningham. Lily's remains are reposing at her late residence this evening from 6 o'clock and from 12 o'clock tomorrow, with family time pleas after the rosary at 9 o'clock both nights. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:30, going to All Saints Church, Newton Cunningham, for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time pleas on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only please, donations in lieu if desired, to the Donegal Hospice and All Saints Chapel Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Moira McNulty, Kilcosy, Kilcar. Her remains are reposing at her home, Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for funeral mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar at 11, with interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. The death has occurred of John McCloskey, Grange, Inch Island, formerly of Ross Downey Park, Derry, reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 1:15 to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch Island, for Requiem Mass at 2:00, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on the YouTube Parish of Fawn. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Robert Hegarty, Baylet, Inch Island. His remains are reposing at his home. Removal from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Inch Island, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed on Parish of Fawn YouTube channel. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Irish Heart Foundation, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Sadie Russell, Nainic Swivna, 8 Ballyduff Park, Lifford, formerly of Gwydor. Sadie will repose at her late residence until 10 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from her late residence on Saturday morning at 10:20, going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to Cancer Care West, Donegal Cancer Support Centre, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of James Jim Doherty, Coolacrick, Anagri, originally from Glasgow. His remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, until Rosary this evening at 8 o'clock. Removal afterwards to the family home in Coolacrick, which is private to family, neighbours and friends, please. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Anagri, on Saturday morning at 11. Interment afterwards in the new graveyard. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam and on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. And the death has taken place of Josephine Coyle, née Moore, 33 Station Road, Ballymagorry, formerly of Newton Stewart, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:20 for Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. The house is private to family and friends only, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.